Before I pray, happy Mother's Day. Amen. God, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Bible says you honor your mother and father, specifically your mother. And it says it's the only commandment with a promise. The promise is that you will live longer. So, I mean, the options are, you know, not too good. So, happy Mother's Day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together. We thank you that we can come here. And we do just honor the mothers and what they put into a family and just really appreciate them, God, that you've anointed them in a certain way. So we just praise you for that and pray a blessing that they would just be encouraged this day. And thank you for each one. Lord, I just pray you would speak to us through your word, be an encouragement to us as you show us things in your word that we'd have a better understanding of you and how you work through our lives, God. So I just pray that you move in a mighty way, open hearts. And I pray you would just touch me and just fill me with the Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit and nothing, you know, of my own selfishness or flesh, and so that you could have all the honor and all the glory, Lord. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for you all know how hard I work on titles. Now, this one, I just love this title. Okay. All right. We are a love letter. A love letter. Now, this message is supposed to be encouraging. I did my best. I mean, I did my best so you would be encouraged here, you know. And so, but anyway, if anything's discouraging in it, it's because some of myself seeped into it. Anyway, it is meant to be encouraging. So why don't we look at 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Now, what we've learned as we're going through 2 Corinthians, and what we've previously learned in 2 Corinthians, we've learned that God established us, anointed us, sealed us, gave us the deposit of His Holy Spirit in us, and which is a result of Him showing us as His trophies. I mean, that's what God has done for us. Now, on top of that, we see that we also are a love letter from Christ. Did you see the flow? I mean, it really is amazing what God has done. And He said, you are a love letter from Christ. Now, I added love. It says we're a letter from Christ. So I did add love. But I think in the whole context of everything, it is about His love and how we function. So I think it's appropriate to say we are a love letter from Christ. And just think about that. I mean, it's like, all right. You know, and I've talked about before, you go before the Lord and He's majestic and glorious and we praise His name and all those things are true. But then He looks at us and says, yeah, you're my love letter from Christ. It's like, just sink in. You know, I mean, God said that. God said that. Now, so what we see here, when we come to Christ, a supernatural event happens in our heart and we reflect Christ. Something happens and we reflect Christ when we come to Him. And as Christians, and this is important to know, as Christians, based on the Bible, as Christians, we don't just have a belief system. We'll compare beliefs. We just have a belief system. People argue over belief system. We don't have a belief system. We have Christ living in us. So that just kind of overrides everything. We have Christ living in us. That's where we start. And so because of that, therefore, what He says, we are His love letter to the world. Biblically, He says, you want to see my love to the world? Look at the believers. That's what He's saying. That's what He's saying here. Now, also, you come back, when you look at it, biblically, what it's also saying, I mean, you hear things about the church, people have opinions of the church, and the church does that, and, you know, a lot of people call themselves churches, and I don't know if they are or not, but biblically, the church that trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a picture of Christ himself. That's what he intended the church to be. It's a picture of Christ, you know, and it's a picture of Christ to the world. It's a picture of Christ to the world. He said, I'm going to show you my love. You can just look at my church. So it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, he kind of, we when he says that about us, we should kind of, okay, what's going on here, and how does this happen? Well, that's what he's telling us right here. This is the picture of what he's telling us here. And again, remember, we don't have a belief system. We have Christ in us. It just came to mind, some of us, we've gone through the book on Ian Thomas, you know, and he makes a statement in there, and he believed this, and as we're going through the book, and see if you can go with me as I say this. He said, Christ in us, we live the life based on Christ in us. And he said this, no one can live the Christian life except Christ. He said, everybody else failed. Well, where does that leave us? We have Christ in us. And you go, oh. See, so God's view, I've given you Christ, you have capacity to live the Christian life. As you let Christ live through you, as you let Christ live through you. Now, so that's where we come in. He says, you're a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. He's talking to each one of us. Now, this is what's really interesting to me. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was in the Old Testament. It was prophesied. In fact, commentaries and people that hold to the inerrancy of Scripture will cite a verse, an Old Testament verse, that communicates and substantiates this verse, okay? This is what all your believing biblical scholars will say. Here's the Old Testament verse that this verse fulfills. So I want you to look at it. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Also Ezekiel 11, chapter 11, verse 9. But so when we look at this, this is God before Christ telling the people, this is how I'm going to work. And the people who know the New Testament say, when they look at this verse, says, this is what he's talking about. This was said in the Old Testament. So let's look at it. We should pay attention because it's talking about us and the church. Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 through 27. He goes, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's the church. He did that in the church through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just a quick note before we go over and just pay attention. He said, I will put my spirit in you. And we know, oh, that's cool, whatever. But look at what the next verses say. This is huge. This is huge. I will put my spirit in you and move you. Where did the actions come from? In the church, Christ in us. And Christ in us moves us. That's the first thing that happens. Now, it says renew your mind and study and all that, but it's Christ who moves you. People go, well, I'm just not moved. I go, and maybe because nobody's home. I mean, I because here it is. I mean, it's so clear. So what we have, this verse here unequivocally expresses that this promise stated in Ezekiel is now being fulfilled in the church. The church is fulfilling this verse. You know, this promise brings powerful, powerful transformation. Now, we see here that in the church, we know that, and biblically, most people would say, yeah, I agree. In the church, in the New Testament, we see that Jesus gives us a new heart. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new heart. You go, wait a minute. Just show you how sharp, you know, the Old Testament people were. Do you remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus? And he goes, Nicodemus said, what do I need? He goes, you need to be born again. You need a new heart. And Nicodemus goes, what am I supposed to come out and crawl back up my mother's womb? I mean, where do you start? Where do you start? That was a scholar of the time. You know, and it's like, how you do it? You can't do that. No concept of what God was talking in Ezekiel. But in the church, we know, no, you come to know Christ. I think Christians across the board say, we get a new heart. See, we fulfill this. And also, Christians across the board say, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a new heart, you're cleansed by his blood, and you receive the Holy Spirit. What happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came, and the church began. What did the Old Testament unbelievers say about them? They look at, these guys are drunk. That's what the religious leaders said. They're drunk. See? And God goes, no, this is me. And when the religious leaders, and this explains why when the religious leaders would come and ask Jesus questions or make statements, and he would say, wouldn't argue with them. Jesus wasn't a big arguer. Didn't argue a lot. And they'd say stuff. He goes, you err. Because you don't know the Spirit, you don't know the Spirit or the power of God. You don't know the Scripture or the power of God. That's all you tell them. You don't know Scripture and the power. Well, where does it say? Ezekiel. It says Ezekiel a couple of times. See? And that's all he would say. You don't know the Scriptures. The reason you can't grasp it, you don't know the Scripture. So this is the whole picture of what he's telling us here. We understand we have a new heart, and the Holy Spirit moves with the Holy. We receive the Holy Spirit. Then we come to this statement: the Holy Spirit moves us to follow God's word. I just can't do what God says. I just can't do what he says. I don't want to do what he says. Maybe nobody's home. You know what 2 Corinthians also says? We'll get there. And God says, you know, you need to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. He said that to believers. Examine yourself. He says, because something should happen. Something should happen. So it's like, so we're here in the church and we go, hallelujah. Okay? We have a cleansed heart. Jesus dwells within us. And it's moving us to obey him. Overriding who we are to live out the life. Like Ian Thomas said, only Jesus can live the Christian life. So we can't live it without Jesus. So we say, Jesus, move in me. I want you to lead me to live the life that you tell me. Because you changed my heart and you gave me the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Bible says every single believer has the Holy Spirit within them. So it's kind of like no excuses. Now, But, here's a big but. But, we can disregard Christ and live our own selfish ways. Can't we? See? But how we get there is we disregard Christ and live our own way. You know, it's like, I just live my own way. I can't. No, you disregard Christ and you live your own way. And it really says it's a decision. Now, we need to grasp this because God, He already told us who we are. He told us. This is the way it is. So we have to make a daily decision for Him to allow Him to work through us. It's a constant communication, a constant working together. Now, the thing of it is, now we shouldn't judge people, okay? But you can look at people and tell. You can tell. Want to hear? You can tell. See, here is evidence of a person living their own selfish way, not making the decision for Christ, not setting eyes, just setting their eyes on the world. It says it in this, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. It says this. There's this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now, note this word. This is, you need to pay attention. The works of the flesh, okay? See, works, the Bible refers to works, is the works that when we obey our own selfish desire. He calls it a work. We have our own selfish desire, and we work it out to do what we want to do. So it's a work. It's a selfish work of the flesh. So here's how people behave. Not making a living daily decision to follow what Christ is showing them. Okay, now the works of the flesh are evident. No doubt, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Aren't you glad he put that in there? I mean, gosh. And things like these. You mean, some of them sound like me this morning getting ready to come to church, but it's like, well, no. He says, no, those are the works of the flesh. That's the work of who you are. Those are selfish desires that you're fulfilling, and you're not setting your heart on Christ. Now, I'm going to make a point here because I'm going to make another point later on. When God lists works of the flesh, always, 100%, always, it's very interesting. When He lists works of the flesh, He always puts immorality first. So where's the issue? It's for, then the rest of them come. Also notice it says, thou shalt not kill. Well, He doesn't have to say that. You know, he doesn't say about laws. He goes, no, this is how you recognize it. Now, you'll do all sorts of crazy stuff, but it comes out of this. It comes out of this. God declares that this behavior are the works of the selfish, unloving heart. You want to see a selfish, unloving heart without Jesus? That's what it looks like. All right. I said this was a positive message this morning. However, the new heart set on Christ produces not works of the flesh, but fruit of the Spirit. And that's how God says it. You don't do works of the flesh, but you have fruit of the Spirit. See, works, you know, it's like you're digging a hole. It's works of the flesh. Fruit of the Spirit is like an apple growing. You just, you know, it just grows. You focus on Jesus and it just grows. You don't work at it. So He calls it fruit. The Spirit just calls the fruit. So the fruit comes from being led by the Spirit. It doesn't say that here, but it does. Fruit comes from being led by the Spirit. All right. Look at here, Galatians 5:22. this is the church as the church is supposed to be. This is the believers as believers are supposed to be. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit, see, but contrast with the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right off the bat. Now, love, when we look, we think, love, oh, you know, we think a Hallmark. Yeah, okay, love. This love is agape love. It's self-sacrificial giving love. You know, I shared this. I take a deviation, but one of the things when Linda and I separated, the Lord told me, gave me Ephesians 5:25. Says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I thought, well, she ain't like me. I don't know why I have to love her, you know. And then I look up, I said, well, what? Love. You look up the original word. And it says, love is self-sacrificial giving. I said, well, that stinks. You know? I mean, who loves like that? He goes, you love her like Christ loved the church. I mean, you can't get out of this hole. You know, it's like, what? Well, how did Christ love them? How did he love, you know, she didn't like me. How am I supposed to love her? And then I read in Romans, it says, Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. You know, I mean, God, you're making a point here. You know, well, this is that same word. So y'all end this with me. You're in it because it's the same word. It's the same word right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, self-sacrificial love that expects nothing in return. I love you if you love me. That ain't love. You see? It's self-sacrificial love that expects nothing in return. Okay, I just wanted to make that point before we moved on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Look at that last phrase. Look at that last phrase. Memorize that last phrase. Against such things, there is no law. Well, you need a commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No. You need this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control coming out of your heart, and you won't commit adultery. I don't give you a law. No, I give you a life. Do you see what I'm saying? That, well, I can't do that. You have no life, brother. You see what I'm saying? This is how God's looking at us. So it's like, oh, you do this. What do I have to, you say I'm a love letter from Christ. What do I do? Where I go? I need to feed the poor. I need to do this. I need to do that. He goes, no, don't you try this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against it, there's no law. You don't need law. You'll do what you're supposed to do. If that's what's coming out of your heart. Amen? I mean, we're talking something different. We're talking Ezekiel. You know, we're talking about, I'll give him a new heart, new spirit. I'll put the spirit down, and the spirit will move them. And then they start acting like this. This. See, Now, I'll bring this up. When God lists fruit of the Spirit, the different places he'll list the fruit of the Spirit, maybe different words, but he lists the fruit of the Spirit, he always puts love first. First thing he mentions, he just starts love. You know what God tells, now this is serious, but I'm being a little facetious, being serious. When God tells me, like at the church, as believers, the first thing he tells me, the first thing, it's all through Scripture, he also telling you, but he tells me, he goes, you love one another. That's where it starts. It never starts, do something. It says you love one another, so that's the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. Every time, the first thing is love. What's the first thing when he lists the flesh? What's the first thing he mentions? What's the first thing we mention? Spirit, love. Immorality and love are polar opposites. They don't go together. They don't go together. No matter what anybody tells you, they do not go together. And God considers it. You know, he can't bless it whatsoever. Now, so we're looking at this. I'm going to get something positive. Okay. The thing of it is, we can continue in our own selfish works. We can continue our own selfish works, such as immorality. But it's a decision. I mean, it just is a decision. See, and don't be fooled. These selfish works, don't be fooled. All of these works are evidence of an unloving heart, independent of God, not being led by the Holy Spirit. We know. I have so many stories I could tell you on this. If they weren't so heartbreaking, it'd be funny. You know, just for instance, and I've told you this story before, but it happened. It happened. This guy came in, married, and he has a girlfriend. I mean, he has a mistress, not just a girlfriend, mistress. And he tries to show me in Scripture that it's biblical to love two women. Is that? No, this is, he really did. Now, this was years before. I've mellowed in my old age. I have mellowed in. God has taught me because he really has taught me. But unfortunately, when he told me that, I hadn't mellowed so well. I mean, I just went off on him like crazy, you know. And I think he left the church and I was happy about it. I mean, you know, we're just like, what? But what are you saying? Well, how could somebody say that? Because there's no Holy Spirit in them giving them direction. They're not, don't they? Well, God's telling them, I don't know who's talking to you, but it ain't God. It's not God. Don't tell me. Well, yes, you don't. Yeah, I do know. You see what I'm saying? And so God is just trying to have, now he's not trying to have us judge other people. He's trying to have us understand ourselves, okay? See, but we see this. Again, I'm going to read this. All these works are evidence of an unloving heart, independent of God, not being led by the Spirit. Oh, they just love Jesus and, you know, all this other stuff going on. No, they don't love Jesus. Well, they say that. I don't care what they say. God says they don't. They don't. And he says, I'm not blessing it. I'm not. I mean, we just, you know, I can't. We just need to understand that. So we know, but, so there's a contrast here, but as a letter of Christ, we make a decision. Okay? Letters of Christ make a decision for Christ. See? We constantly make decisions for Christ. And we don't do certain things like, oh, that's not a good decision for Christ. We keep making decisions for Christ. So being led by the Spirit comes from to make godly decisions, you know, from what's coming within you, because the Holy Spirit is moving within you. We make a decision, what? We make a decision to set our new heart on Christ. That's the set. We set our new heart on Christ, and when we set our new heart on Christ, it produces fruit of the Spirit. See, that's how it works. I make a decision. All right, now, fruit. I'll give you fruit to be able to do this. And there are just so many examples you could go, but I think you get the principle of what's going on, of God working in us. He is actually working in all of us all the time. Say, well, I don't know if I have the Spirit of God. Okay, that may be true. But that also means you're not a believer. I mean, that's what the Bible says. See, that and you just recognize. So you don't give somebody a bunch of rules. You say, hey, let's talk about Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. See, a transformation that takes place in the heart. Love letters from Christ have a power, confidence, and competence from God. They just make decisions from Him. Loving Jesus, and they have power, and they have assurance, and they have a competence from God. All that, and that's all the testing. Somebody says something to you, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's just ridiculous. I'd like to strangle them. Not that y'all would ever have that thought. I have, but I know y'all haven't, you know. And you say, wait, well, listen, I'm doing something. You show your love and concern, walk with them, and you watch me work. You watch me work. You keep the right attitude about this. You may have to make some hard decisions, but you watch me work. Okay, then we become a love letter of Christ, reflecting Christ in a terrible situation. Because our confidence is who? We're a love letter from Christ. All right? So Christ will work. So that's what he's telling us this. Now, so you look at this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. It says this, such confidence. Now remember, when you read these things, you can just kind of flow over them. But he's really telling us something. He's telling us, he's trying to encourage us. It's his love letters. He goes, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Now pause there. I am confident. And you see this, and you know, they say, you know, you need to be positive thinking. You need the confidence. You need to believe you can do certain things, you know. That's not what it says here. It's not what it's saying. It says, such confidence we have through Christ, before God. Okay, God, that you said it, I'll do it. You said it, I'll do it. That's all, and that's our focus. So, and so we said, we have such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. Ezekiel, new heart, new spirit, and I'll put the Holy Spirit in you and move you. Do you see what it says here? We can claim nothing of ourselves because our strength, which is supernatural that created the worlds, our strength and our competence comes from God. In other words, we can do anything that God shows us. So we want to obey what God's telling us because that's opening a door for Him to do everything through us that He wants us to do. You see that? We live like the flesh and we're getting nothing from God. We're just working out of the flesh and this whole world works out of the flesh. But when you're led by the Spirit's leading you in every situation. You're showing the fruit of the Spirit. And then the power of God is working through you. And then we're excited about the power of God because He's working through us supernaturally. This is not arrogance. It's not arrogance. But we know truth. See, it's not arrogance. But we know truth and have a divine competence and assurance that comes from God. God gave us His Spirit that brings assurance and freedom. Now here's another big thing. Don't we love freedom? Hallelujah. Love freedom. And then I was talking to somebody, and it was really good. And he was talking about one of their kids, and he said, you know, they ain't ready for freedom yet. Because there's something tied, you know. But it is. God says, no, this is freedom. Look what it says about freedom. This is all coming together. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit has to be present for freedom. The Spirit has to be present. I can go out here and let them get drunk every day and do what I want to because I'm free. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Now, I can do that, but I'm going to ask you, is the Spirit there? No. And if you look at me, you know, I'm free. Now, you're in a heap of trouble, you know. And you say, no, the Spirit is in freedom. And you should say to me, well, that Spirit ain't telling you nothing. He ain't there. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it all flows. It makes sense. So what we have here, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The misuse of freedom is evidence of an unloving heart. Well, they're just misusing freedom, and I guess yes, that's evidence of an unloving heart. It's not their freedom you got to deal with. It's their unloving heart. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like, oh, my goodness. So we are required to continually to make decisions. Now, listen to this. We are continually required to make decisions of love. Now, that's what God says. Well, how do I make the decisions? Okay, make the decision of love, where love has its best work out here. Okay? Now, love is like, oh, it's just ooshy-gooshy love. No, it's self-sacrificing to encourage and to help to see God glorified. How do I make that decision? Okay, make it out of love. He tells us right there. So we make the decisions continually out of love. And these decisions are led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see how this coming together here? So, don't misuse freedom. Now, God really has his act together, right? Okay, he really has. So he tells us, we're free, okay? And he goes, he talks to Gabriel. He probably doesn't talk to Gabriel, but if he talked to Gabriel, say, they're free. He tells Gabriel, or Gabriel tells him, say, God, these guys are too free. you need to put some caveats on their freedom. Hey, they're not going to get it. He goes, okay, on freedom, I'll give Galatians 5:13 because they need a few caveats on freedom. Galatians 5:13-14. For you were all called to freedom, brothers. And all God's people said, amen. That's an absolute. That is an absolute. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, like immorality. He goes, you know what I mean, don't you? Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we know what he's talking about. I need to throw that in. You're free, but don't use this freedom as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the flesh to do bad stuff. You're free and can do it, but you don't want to do that. See, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But what do? But the whole big theological seminary explanation. But through love serve one another. Against this, there's no law. Against there's no law. You don't need law. No, you just through love, serve one another. Now look at 14. This, you ought to memorize 14. You ought to memorize. This makes the Bible so simple. It makes what God says so simple. It so proves what our issue is. Look at this. Look at what he says. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law. Anybody have a Bible here? Somebody have a hard copy Bible here? Would you hold your Bible real high, Roseanne? Just hold it up. Okay, look at her Bible and listen to this. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You got it. Genesis to Revelation, and you got everything figured out. Everything's figured out. Everything. He just said it. He's the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you got to do. I don't know how to live the Christian life. I bet you're a joy to be around. Oh, my. Oh, my. See, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, think about this. You love God. You love the church. You love your family. You love others. And this is evidence of being led by the Spirit. From the Spirit within, you're moved to love and serve. I love so-and-so so much. I wouldn't do this. That guy that loved two women, he didn't love either one of them, but he sure didn't love his wife. Because he loved her, he wouldn't have done this. He just proved he had no capacity for love. He's just blowing smoke. You can just call these Christians blowing smoke, all right? Because that's all they're doing. And God's making it so simple. Now, he says, study, renew your mind. It's good for you to know so. But to work it out day to day, no, it's simple. There's no problem. It's really simple. Simple. See, Roseanne held up her Bible. She's reading it. You know, I just love people, Roseanne. You see what I'm saying? But this is what this is saying. I mean, it is making a huge, huge point. Now, driving home a point, just look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Now, he's telling us, this is what God is, you know, he's communicating to us is love, that we are love letters, okay? As love letters, look at this. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. He made you competent. What is my qualification? I love others. Now, so he made us competent of a new covenant because we love others. We understand that. He made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We do not live by outside restrictions, but we live by inner transformation, evidenced by loving God, loving the church, loving your family, and loving people. That's the power. That's the power. That's the power. Then we are led by the Spirit that gives life. Because that's what it does. The Spirit gives life. We're led by the Spirit that gives life. And I actually copied this from someone, but I thought it was wonderful. The basis of the new covenant between God and the church is a dynamic, pervasive Spirit. It just pours out love. That's the basis of the new covenant. Just pours out love based on the Lord Jesus Christ, but shown through the Spirit. And Jesus lives within us and tells us how to do that in every situation. All right. Now I'm going to close up, and I'm going to do something right here. And I could, especially, I want to say this, especially those that have been with me a long time. I can say this with confidence, okay? So I can agree with Jesus and say this about you, all right? You say, look at Romans 15:4. Look at Romans 15:4. Based on 2 Corinthians and you being a love letter of Christ, I myself, the Paul, almost, that's me, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. There it is. Why wouldn't you be? You are. And you are to believe you are. But wait a minute. Love one another self-sacrificially. Oh. The answer comes. The Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit comes. You are a letter from Christ. Stand on Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2. The Apostle Paul said, and he wrote the three quarters of the New Testament. He said, listen, let me tell you. For I decided to know nothing among you. He said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Picture of love. Now take that verse. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't know what to do with this woman. Jesus says, love her like Christ loved the church. What's plan B? But she don't like me. he said, no, that's what you do. I don't know what to do. He said, yeah, you do. I'm telling you what to do. What? You see what I'm saying? Oh, by the way, it worked. It worked. I'm still working on it. It wasn't like one deal done, but no, I mean, it definitely is a work in process here. But, you know, but I think I'm in good and solid for a while, you know. She tolerates a lot of my mistakes. All right, now hallelujah. So I really believe that. Go out of here. And what this verse is saying, he's saying, you are competent. That's what God, you are, but I don't, yeah, you do. Quit thinking about yourself and how you love others and serve others. And God said the Holy Spirit will start revealing things. Then He reveals power through you. And you're like, oh my God, things are happening. See, things are happening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love. Lord, just the thought that You would call us a letter from You. I mean, just to get our arms around that You look and You say, we are a letter from You. So wherever we are, in every situation, we are a letter from You. All right, God. So we're going to keep our eyes open and see what You do. See what? Because it's not from us. It's from You. Clear. The power of the universe is happening for us, but it's coming from You. Lord, we give thanks to You. We thank You that You saved us. We thank You that we're forgiven. And so, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. And God, we do thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.